ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट 29 चैप्टर एंटाइटल गजेंद्रस प्रेयर्स ऑफ सरेंडर। न अयम् वेद स्वमात्मानम् यक्षक्त्याहं धियातम् तं दुरत्यय महात्म्यम् भगवन्तं मितोऽस्म्यहम् नाय। ट्रांसलेशन। I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whose illusory energy the Jiva, who is part and parcel of God, forgets his real identity because of the bodily concept of life. I take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose glories are difficult to understand. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, every living entity, regardless of whether he be human, demigod, animal, bird, bee, or whatever, is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord and the living entity are intimately related like father and son. Unfortunately, because of material contact, the living entity forgets this and wants to enjoy the material world independently, according to his own plan. This illusion, Maya, is very difficult to surmount. Maya covers the living entity because of his willingness to forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead and make his own plan to enjoy this material world. As long as this contamination continues, the conditioned soul will be unable to understand his real identity and will perpetually continue under illusion life after life. अतो गृहक्षेत्र सुताप्ति वित्ते जनस्य मोहम अहम ममेति। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट नंबर 8। एज लॉन्ग एज द लिविंग एंटिटी इज नॉट एनलाइटेंड सो दैट ही मे अंडरस्टैंड हिज रियल पोजिशन, ही विल बी अट्रैक्टेड टू मटेरियलिस्टिक लाइफ, टू हाउस, कंट्री और फील्ड, टू सोसाइटी, सन्स, फैमिली, कम्युनिटी, बैंक बैलेंस एंड सो ऑन। कवर्ड बाय ऑल दिस, ही विल कंटिन्यू टू थिंक that I am this body and everything related to this body is mine. This materialistic conception of life is extremely difficult to surmount. But one who surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as did Gajendra, the king of the elephants, comes to enlightenment on the Brahman platform. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Sochati Na Kangshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labate Para. One who is transcendently situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed towards all living entities. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Bhagavad Gita 18.54. Since a devotee is completely on the Brahman platform, he is not jealous of any other living entity. Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu. So, this is the last of the prayers which is offered by Gajendra unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And here he is talking about the position of the living entity in this material world. That how the living entity, by the influence of the illusory energy of the Lord, forgets his real identity as the part and parcel of Supreme Lord, and continues to live in this material world. All throughout this chapter, we see one very prominent theme coming out, and that is taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, Gajendra, with all these different prayers, ultimately only aims at one thing, to take shelter of the Supreme Lord in this particular circumstance. The living entity, Krishna Bulia Jiva Bhogavancha Kare, Nikatastha Mayatare, Japatiyadare. Once upon a time, we all were in the spiritual world, but somehow or other we decided to enjoy separate from him. And as soon as we decided to enjoy separate from him, we came under the influence of Maya. Maya was next. That's next to you. Nikatastha Mayatare, Japatiyadare. And then, once under the influence of Maya, we are bound by its shackles, under the influence of three modes of material nature. Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita, Daivi I Esha Gunamai Mama Maya Durateya Mama Hevai Prapadinti Mayam Etam Tarandite. This material world, under the influence of its illusion, is just very difficult to overcome. Daivi Esha, just my energy. Mama Maya Durateya, it's very difficult to come out. But one who has surrendered to me, that's very easy to come out of it. Krishna mentions in this material world, in the Bhagavad Gita. Unfortunately, the Jivatma, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned in this purport, that because of his willingness to forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead and make his own plan to enjoy this material world, what happens? Maya covers a living entity. And Prabhupada says, as long as this contamination continues, the conditioned soul will be unable to understand his real identity and will perpetually continue under illusion. And then go on the cycle of birth and death. Maya Shakti, he binds everyone by ropes, the three gunas, mode of goodness, passion, ignorance. In fact, under the influence of the illusion energy, we think that we are something other than part and parcel. Someone under the influence may think that I am Hitler. Someone think I am Tata. Not actually like that, but he thinks that I am a very powerful person. A very practical example. If somebody is driving a Mercedes or a Toyota car, he thinks I am a very big person. And if there is a person who is riding a bicycle in front, you know, he feels very proud and he honks, you know, exerts his power over him, you know. Little does he realize that he's the same person as a person on a cycle. But then, he says, I am very powerful. And sometimes he may even shout at him, abuse him. But the same person, when he sits on the bicycle, the person who drives a car will also do the same thing. But because he's under that influence, he thinks that I am a very powerful person. I am, you know, someone whom everyone should really worship me, or maybe, you know, offer obeisance unto me. Thinks about so many things. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj once, he gave a wonderful class. That lecture is titled "The Prison House Without Walls." Says that in this material world, you know, for the criminals, the big prison houses made, you know, very tall walls so that people should not climb and escape. But there are many instances where even those prison houses are being, you know, like criminals who have escaped those prison houses also. They have found out various ways and means to come out of it, which otherwise from the external point of view is very difficult. But here His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was mentioning that Maya has created such a nice prison house that there are no walls at all. But still nobody wants to get out of this place. Nobody wants to get out. Nobody wants to get out. Because Maya has bound them shackles. Atho Griya Kshetra Sutaptra Vitte Janasya Moham Amam Mamiti. Prabhupada mentions here. My family, my prestige, my position. All these so-called designations bind one into the shackles. And nobody makes any plans to come out of this. Nobody makes any plans to come out of this material world. Because of ignorance, Srila Prabhupada mentions here, that because of ignorance, each and every living entity makes plans to become happy in this material world. During the dressing time, we were hearing Srila Prabhupada speaking. When Srila Prabhupada speaks, and the way he speaks, you have to become convinced. There's no way that, you know, you can be under different word, but you have to be convinced about what he is speaking. And by simple example, he just mentions or gives us a deep philosophy. He is mentioning about an ass. So Prabhupada is typical style, you know, that how he says this ass, he has a grass in front of him dangling, and the ass thinks that maybe I'll take one step and I'll be able to eat the grass. But he goes on walking, and the grass, he doesn't get it. But ass all the time thinks that maybe I'll take one more step and I'll get the grass. One more step and I'll get the grass. And then Prabhupada says, this foolish ass doesn't know that he can never get the grass, even though he may walk for miles and miles. So similarly, he says that we all are thinking that maybe if I attain this, I'll become happy in this world. Maybe if I acquire this position, I'll become happy. Or maybe if I get a particular house to stay in a particular place, according to the way I want, I'll become happy. Maybe if I get a spouse according to my liking, I'll become happy. Maybe if I have my children according to the way I want, I'll become happy. Never happens. And we always think that I will become happy someday or the other. And one find we find that we are at the fag end of a life and we are staring the dark face of death. And this is what happens actually. So everyone in this world, I have a colleague of mine who is in Kolhapur. I go once in a month for my professional visit to him. So whenever I go to Kolhapur, I just go to his house, get down at his place, and then maybe take a bath and go for a professional visit. Such a wonderful family. I was discussing with my colleague Anandan Prabhu on this Sunday. I was sharing with him that this person, externally speaking, very happy family, like wife, daughter and son. He has a very big house, a palatial house. You cannot expect like that in Bombay. Somebody who has this may be considered to be a crorepati. This person has a nice palatial place, very happy family, so-called, children well-behaved, and wonderful professional. He has a dental clinic, two clinics he has. And the clients you can expect, as one would expect, he has those also. All the influential people of Kolhapur are his patients. You name them and they are there. The famous D.Y. Patil, whom we have these institutions here also. You know, they are his patients. Huh? The minister, the MLA of Kolhapur, he is patient. The topmost doctors are his patients. So from every point of view, every year goes for a trip out of India. And a wonderful thing. So I was out of inquisition. I was thinking that, is he really happy? Because Prabhupada says nobody can be happy in this world. So I was thinking, is he really happy? Or maybe not. I think he's really happy. He may not be miserable. But then the Pandora's box opened last time when I went on this last Friday. I was there. And this, you know, when he went out of the house, his wife opened out everything. And his wife said, please explain to him everything. And he started crying. I didn't know why she was crying. I said, please tell me what happened. He says, you know, he's spending sleepless nights for so many days. And he can't sleep. He has to take, you know, diazepam to sleep, and some other he cannot, then he has acidity problems, then he has, you know, sometimes he eats, he has food poisonings and other things. And there's so many other primary problems also. So then I realized that Prabhupada's words are true. That even this person is not miserable. Not happy, he's miserable. And then I had to talk to him for 1 hour. You know, I had to speak to him. And you tell him that you should do this. Some or the other, maybe I'm not so pure enough, it may not act upon him so much. But definitely I had to give him that knowledge. And maybe I'll get him to Radha Gopinath Prabhu, and probably by his mercy he'll start chanting. But what I wanted to say here is that nobody is happy in this material world. We may think that a person is very happy, but there is something that person has which he thinks that if he gets that, he'll become happy. So externally, it's just a facade show that everyone is happy. How can it be possible? Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions, is dukhalayam. So how can you be happy in this material world? You cannot be happy. Huh? Only a person like Srila Prabhupada can go through this, you know, through our cross or, you know, thick covering and enter into heart and then make us understand that you are not the body and you are the spirit soul and you have to take shelter of Krishna. Like Ambarish Maharaj, sorry, not Ambarish Maharaj, Ambarish Prabhu, in his memories, he is mentioning that how when he first met Srila Prabhupada, somebody introduced him that Srila Prabhupada, he is the great grandson of that Henry Ford. So Prabhupada says, so where is he now? So it seems when he heard that, Ambarish Prabhu realized, he said, I started going deeply and I was wondering, really, where is he now? And then his realization was that I came to understand that Prabhupada actually brought me immediately on the spiritual platform. From the bodily conception, he brought me immediately on the spiritual platform. And then this Balimandar's wife was a Toyota lady, he says, and Prabhupada, just to inform, you know, just a casual remark, he said, and she is Toyota, Miss Toyota, you know. There was Ford and Toyota, like that. Basically, Prabhupada, through his, you know, wonderful exchanges, can go deep through this material covering and make us understand that we are not the body and we are the spirit soul. That's his purity. As Bhavanand Prabhu, once in his presentation, he was mentioning that Prabhupada, through his actions also, he can make us understand that one should not be attached to this material world. He was saying that once he was going for a walk, and going through the streets of Beverly Hills, he saw big mansions, huge cars, big cars, and nice garden in front. And Bhavanand Prabhu was saying that I was just quite, you know, carried away by the wonderful beauty of this place. And Prabhupada was walking, and what Prabhupada was saying, you would see, it seems he was oblivious to what Prabhupada was talking also, because he was so much, you know, engrossed in having a darshan of the wonderful buildings. And all of a sudden, Prabhupada just stopped at one place. He just cleared his throat, his coughed. He just turned around and spat in one of the lawns of this place. And we did. Bhavan Prabhu said, as soon as I saw that, Prabhupada just, you know, he just spat it out, you know. So Bhavan Prabhu understood that, you know, I am trying to get attracted to all these things, but then Prabhupada is saying this is all rubbish, you know. And he said, again, he came back to his, you know, consciousness. All right. People are attached to positions also. So, once Badrinath Prabhu or someone was mentioning, yeah. He said, once somebody came to Prabhupada and he started to boast about his, you know, position. That, Prabhupada, I have one factory in Delhi. And I have one in Jaipur, and one in this place and that place. But I do not get sleep, Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, you are not getting sleep because you have so many things to do. You know, do one thing, give some of those things, properties to us, and you will get good sleep. And immediately he told his assistants, the priest take down his address. So this person said, no, Prabhupada, I don't mind, I'll come. On and off, and come to meet you. No, but we also want to come and meet you, no? So please take his address. And Prabhupada forced the person to give him the address and took it. So people are attached to this, you know, because of gross bodily identification. They would approach a spiritual, they would approach a person, but they do not want to relieve, or they don't want relief from that situation. As someone would say, you know, like, You embrace a pillar and say, leave me, you know. But the best part is that you just release yourself from that and you are free. But you're embracing a pillar and he says, please relieve me, you know, relieve me of this place. Liberate me. But, you know, anybody else will say, you're a fool. You just release your hands and you are out. Huh? As simple as that. So, it is said that Prabhupada mentions the same story. That one can become happy in this world only when one takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only when then one can become happy. Otherwise, there is no way that one can become happy in this. So Gajendra's here, prayers here is just that, my dear Lord, I just want to take shelter of you. In fact, if you see, practically speaking, we all have no choice. All odds are against us. We can practically see. As Vrajbihari Prabhu was saying that, you know, when something happens like there's a bomb blast happening just close to temple, everyone realizes what is the use of this existence. You become like, you know, a renunciate. You start wondering what is the use of this life and this. But actually, if you see, every situation, every moment of life is a moment of danger. Padam padam yad vipadam. That's the fact. So, people in this material world, they take shelter. When miseries come upon us, they take shelter of so many things. Maybe they take shelter of the family, maybe my family will protect me. But as Gajendra saw that the family did not. They take shelter of the position, but sometimes you may be kicked out of that position. One person who was in a very big position, whom I knew, and all of a sudden he was told that he should quit that place. Such a miserable situation for him. He thought that probably he is going to go on for the rest of life in that place, but no. They are all infallible soldiers. They are all infallible. Someone may land up into drinking or some all the habits which one should not when miseries come upon. But Gajendra is showing through his example what one should do when one is in that situation. Just ultimately take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Person of Godhead. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was mentioning that every one of us are in the jaws of the crocodile, the jaws of death. You know, and the different situations in life are the different teeth. Whether it's a recession or there's a market boom or in a very comfortable situation or in a miserable situation, they are different teeth of the jaws. Very nice. Just meditate on that and we can understand that. In any situation, one has to take shelter of the Lord. It's not that now everything is okay, now I may take it very comfortably. No. He said, at every moment of time, we should take shelter of the Lord. So when one takes shelter of the Lord, one gains immense benefit. And what are the immense benefits that one gains? I just want to just share with you some of the few things. When one takes shelter of the Lord, number one is that one gains immense strength. Strength to face the difficulties and also to face the obstacles in life. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we have a glaring example of Prahlad Maharaj. That Prahlad Maharaj, you know, he had taken complete shelter of the Lord. And that's the reason he had that strength to face the obstacles. Just imagine, like, you know, you are the only person who is a devotee and all around you are demons. How can you remain like that in that situation? Like, even when somebody builds a building also, you know, they have conditions that only Jains, means only Jains will stay in this building. Or someone, you know, who is a Vaishnava will say, no non-veg eaters in this place. Because that can influence you. Just imagine you are in an apartment where all the people are demons. All the people are, and then you are the only person. How can you remain like that? Prahlad Maharaj was in that situation that, like, you know, Hiranyakashipu and all his associates, Praja, were all demons. And Hiranyakashipu was the only person who was taking shelter of the Lord. Even the demigods could not help Prahlad, because they were also under the influence of Hiranyakashipu. They were also under his control. Just imagine that situation. And in that situation, Prahlad is preaching to his father, Hiranyakashipu, whom the entire universe was afraid of. Means if you try to imagine, you cannot survive there. You will become a wreck. In fact, you will say, I might as well die here rather than surviving. But Prahlad Maharaj was so strong that he just went there in front of Hiranyakashipu and said, oh, great of the Asuras, you should go to the forest and take shelter of the Lord. He was not afraid. He was not scared about anything. So he was preaching fearlessly, right? So that's one thing when one takes shelter of the Lord. When one takes shelter of the Lord, one develops that humility. Ambarish Maharaj, entire existence was just to serve the Lord. And when actual test came, when Durvas Muni decided to kill him, by having a fiery demon attack him, Ambarish Maharaj did not say anything. Srila Prabhupada in the purport mentions, Ambarish Maharaj just stood there. He did not even try to defend himself also. And Prabhupada says in the purport, it means that Ambarish Maharaj is meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was neither trying to defend himself or not trying to, some other attack, whatever. Ambarish Maharaj just in humility, just meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada mentions the verse before that, says that the Sudarshan Chakra had already reached there before this incident even took place. And Prabhupada in the purport mentions that for a Lord's devotees, as soon as a devotee takes shelter of the Lord, the protection is automatically guaranteed. Immediately the protection is guaranteed. I'll read his own words. He says, Maharaj Ambarish did not care even an inch, nor did he ask the Lord for protection. Lord knew everything before anything had happened. The Lord knew everything before anything could happen. He had already arranged for the chakra to protect him. And then Prabhupada makes a very strong statement. He says, this protection is offered to the devotee even from the very beginning of his devotional service. So before this incident took place, when Durvas Muni would come and then he would curse him, even before that only the chakra was ready over there. That was the protection was guaranteed. We see in the lives of devotees also how, like somebody knows that he has a cancer. Like in the West, we had one god sister who knew that she had got this cancer. But the protection was already given even before that, before she knew that she had cancer. Because she was mentally so stable. On the day before she went for a surgery or for the operation, she prepared about 100 bhogas for Nityan Prabhu's appearance day. Means it's completely, dependent. So you see the lives of so many devotees. The Lord protects the devotee even before the situation actually comes about. So that's what happened with Ambarish Maharaj. And Prabhupada says he was humble and he was very meek, Ambarish Maharaj. So when somebody is like that, then Lord's protection is guaranteed because he had full shelter of the Lord. The Lord took it upon him to protect him. As simple as that. The third benefit that one gets is that you get enlightened. Like how Gajendra became enlightened. He came to a situation, he was praying to the Lord, took shelter of him and became completely enlightened. Tesham evanu kampartham aham ajnanam jamtamam nasham atmam bhavasto jnana tipena bharata. He said, for one who takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he says, Lord gives spiritual enlightenment from within. So anyone who takes shelter, the enlightenment is sure. And Prabhupada in the purport mentions that even though somebody is not educated, for them also, when that person takes shelter of the Lord, the enlightenment is assured. Person gets enlightened. What to speak of someone like Gajendra, who has taken a form of an elephant. He has a body of an elephant. But still, he was enlightened in that situation. In that body of an elephant also, he was completely enlightened. So what's so difficult for Lord to enlighten anyone? So that is the benefit when one takes shelter of the Lord. And the fourth benefit is that one gets liberation from the material miseries or the material bondage. Like Dhru Maharaj, before he wanted a kingdom greater than that of his great grandfather, Swayambhu Manu. But then when he took shelter of the Lord and when he had darshan of the Lord, he realized that what was he asking for. He said, I was looking for broken pieces of glass and I got this real diamond. When he got the darshan of the Lord, he just said, I do not want anything, my dear Lord, I just want your shelter, that's all, nothing else. For someone who takes shelter, the material miseries, as yesterday in the Bhagavatam class, Srila Prabhupada was mentioning, for a devotee, the misery is nothing but is considered as a mercy of the Lord. He doesn't consider it to be misery. He thinks that it's a mercy. My Lord, you are so great. Whatever misery comes upon life of devotee, just... So, he actually is in a liberated state in that situation. So, when one takes shelter of the Lord, he always thinks that he is only getting the mercy. The fifth benefit is that when one takes shelter is that he is always thankful to the Lord for whatever happens in his life. At the same time, he becomes totally dependent on the Lord for everything. Tatenu kampam sushimikshamano bunjan evatma kritam vibhagam ridvag bodhpurvi vidhadha namaste jivet mukta padesh daibak. So, whatever happens in the life of a devotee, he always thanks the Lord. Chitraketu Maharaj, he was cursed by Parvati to become a demon, Vritrasur. But then Chitraketu Maharaj just took it as a blessing from the Lord. She got down from the chariot, approached Parvati and thanked her. Thanked her for whatever. And Prabhupada in the purport mentions that the devotee of Lord in any situation always thankful to the Lord. He doesn't complain about anything. He just accepts it as the mercy of the Lord. And like Avanti Brahman, he tolerates also. He tolerates all the insults, all the tribulations, all the problems that he undergoes. He tolerates everything. And then he also becomes totally dependent on the Lord, like the Pandavas. No complaint. In whatever situation of life, just go on, thank the Lord, and become completely dependent on the mercy. That's what happens. And then, it is said that the fifth benefit is that you get eternal blissful life. Always blissful. Like Shyamananda Prabhu, I think in one of his classes, he said, the devotees are called blissists. Like how we have terrorists, we have blissists. He said, the devotees are blissists. They are always blissful. In any situation in life, they are always blissful. Always blissful. In the story of Bali Maharaj, it's mentioned that how that Bali Maharaj, when he completely surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord, he was completely free from all anxieties, became completely blissful. So much so that Vaman Dev, he sent him to Sutala Loka, but he sent him, that's one thing. But then he gave him his association to him. He became his doorkeeper over there. But Bali Maharaj, after he surrendered, he became fully blissful. So eternal blissful life, actually, when one takes shelter of the Lord. And the other last benefit is that a devotee, when he takes shelter of the Lord, is relieved from all the obligations that he has in this material world. Devarshi bhutapta nidam pitrinam na kinkajaranayam rinicharajan sarvatmanaya sharanam sharanam gato mukundam pariyartakartum. That you have so many debts to your devatagan, to the rishis, the bhuta, apta, to all the other living entities, nidam. But when one takes shelter, sarvatmanaya sharanam sharanam gato mukundam pariyartakartum, once you take shelter of the Lord, then you are relieved from all the obligations. And then, relief from all the obligations, that's one thing. And you get to be reunited with the Lord in His eternal abode after you leave this body. And then, you constantly go on remembering Him. As Gauram Prabhu was mentioning day before yesterday, that this particular translation, the verse, you know, represents remembrance, that Gajendra is praying to the Lord that please let me remember you. Let me remember. This is the last of the prayers of Gajendra. He says, please let me not forget you, let me remember you. Because once you remember the Lord in every situation in life, you are always in the association of the Lord. That's all. So this is what happens when you take shelter of the Lord. And if you don't take shelter of the Lord, exactly the opposite happens. When one doesn't take shelter of the Lord, what happens? Instead of strength, gaining strength, one becomes weak. One becomes weak to situations. One becomes like, you know, when situations come in your life, you become a wreck. You're not able to face the situations. You're not able to face the facts. And then you take shelter of so many other things. Very difficult. And instead of becoming humble, you become arrogant, you become proud, you think that you are the doer probably, and you try to make so many adjustments to get this. And instead of getting enlightened, probably you get into different modes of ignorance completely. And instead of becoming liberated, what happens is that you become more and more materially bound. More and more materially bound and more miserable. Instead of becoming liberated from miseries, you become more miserable. And instead of becoming dependent, totally dependent, what happens? You become completely dependent on so many other aspects of life. Somebody takes to drinks, somebody takes to some other psychiatric things, so many other aspects. And you also become completely atheistic also. Why this is happening? That's what happens. And then afterwards, instead of eternal blissful life, the result what happens? You get is what? Eternal miserable life. You become completely miserable throughout your life. And then result of that is cycle of birth and death. You forget the Lord and you just are into this cycle of birth and death. That means you miss the boat. You miss a wonderful opportunity for taking shelter of the Lord and getting out of this world. Instead of that, what happens? You just come back into this material world. Birth after birth, you are undergoing this struggle. So, the only thing for us is to take shelter. We have no other choice. We have only one hope, that come what may, let us take shelter of the Lord. And as His Holiness Radharan Maharaj was mentioning, that Gajendra offered so many wonderful prayers to the Lord. And here we are very fortunate that in this age of Kali Yuga, we have wonderful opportunity to take shelter of the holy name of the Lord. In any situation of life, the holy name is our shelter. As one devotee was mentioning, that if everything is taken away from you, your position, your job, your family, everything, if everything is taken away from you, two things cannot be taken from you. One is the chanting, and another is your wonderful experience of Krishna consciousness. That cannot be taken away from you. So, at any situation in life, one can always go on chanting and relive those experiences which one has got in Krishna consciousness. And that is what we are always eager to. We are always eager to absorb the wonderful experiences which you are getting. Try to absorb each and every moment we have in Krishna consciousness, so that when the moment comes, when you have to face the situations, that time we will be able to do that. Chanting one cannot take away from you, and experience one cannot take away from you. So one has to take shelter of the holy name. And what I discussed was, you know, stood for this shelter, S-H-E-L-T-E-R. So S stands for strength, H stands for humility, E stands for enlightenment, L stands for liberation, T stands for dependence and tolerance, and E stands for eternal blissful life, and R stands for remembrance and reunion with the Lord. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.